I'm going to attempt to give a dinner-wide perspective on climate change and adaptation. I'm sure do that imperfectly because Department of Environment and Natural Resources is a big organization and it's a changing organization. But I hope to give you some perspectives. And I just want to start with a weeny bit about our new organization and the challenges and the opportunities that provides, just to provide you with some context for what I'm will be talking about. We're an amalgamation of two previous organizations.
Is that one?
Can people not hear me in the back? The old Department of Environment and Heritage and Water, Land, and Biodiversity Conservation. So the non-watery bits of the latter were brought together with the old Department of Environment and Heritage. In addition to that, we're in a process of integrating our regional NRM bodies to be working with us much more closely than they have in the past. I'm not sure what that's going to look like, but that presents huge opportunities for us in the future, in particular as we're working towards engaging with and really taking a more participatory role in environmental management into the future. Now, what I wanted to talk to today is to build on the discussion that Rowan gave us about the adaptation framework, which again is a huge opportunity for us in South Australia to have some foundational policy that we can work toward. But I really want to set a combination of policy context and management context within DENR. There's a number of issues that require attention in this realm. And as Rowan pointed out, we are gaining a whole of government policy direction. In the past, we haven't really had clarity on government's role, and it's a big issue for us, and it'll continue to be as we roll out this work, that it was government's responsibility for dealing with adaptation. And for the old environment departments, we had made some progress in engaging with community in this space, particularly with the farming community, but not across the board. And we really need to get clear messages out to the community and to help them build the capacity to adapt. So again, this is where our work with regional NRM boards is going to become more and more important. We also haven't had a clear priority for our research agenda. And there's been a risk in the past of us being vulnerable to ill-coordinated research that may not be what we actually require. Again, with the adaptation framework and some work that Denner's done, there's an opportunity to have a focus at the state and regional scale that informs that better. Another big issue for Denner that we've been grappling with and I think are making some progress on is building better linkages between science, research, policy, and management. And what we're trying to do is address the challenge and the different realms and needs of the world of policy and management and the world of academic research. They have different drivers, and we recognize that and are trying to acknowledge it and work with it. Politicians and government want action. Researchers want ideas. Research is backward-looking in terms of testing hypotheses and thinking hard about the cause and effect. Policy and management is forward-looking, having to deal with issues as they arise, and often on time frames that are unrealistic in terms of the knowledge basis that we need to take decisions. We've got some major challenges across the board, and they've been highlighted by a number of the speakers prior to me. For instance, Denner and NRM boards have been working hard to influence planning decisions at a number of scales. The knowledge and the science that we have and that we're trying to present to influence those decisions is not always as accessible or accepted as we'd like them to be. So part of the paradigm that we're trying to change in terms of the way we work and the way we work with researchers is about really making these linkages to issues tighter and more responsive. And I'll touch on, I'll end on this little bit of thinking about improving linkages between science and policy. There's quickly six things that I'd like to talk to in this space, and I'll go through them quickly. First, the adaptation framework that Rowan outlined. Denner will be the lead agency for Objective 3. It encourages a whole-of-landscape focus, which is an important approach for us, and it reflects a lot of the work that we're doing in Denner and in regional bodies. Initiatives such as Nature Links, which Andy touched on, our Marine Protected Areas program, it's all about developing connectivity and having an integrative look at the issues that we've got, and it's building on existing work that we have in place. Our old DEH had a climate change strategy with three objectives, and again, it's about maximizing resilience. The old Waterland and Biodiversity Conservation had a real sound policy footing. It was a draft, but it's a good foundation for the way we work. Now, both the old DEH policy and strategy needs revisiting in the climate of this new Denner, but it's a good, solid foundation to build on. Denner has a corporate plan, which has a role statement that acknowledges our role in addressing conservation and natural resource management and climate change adaptation. One of the opportunities and challenges we have in this area is about offsets and carbon markets. They're hugely complex, and they've been hindered by lack of traction in the Commonwealth government with the Carbon Pollution Reduction Scheme. But a voluntary carbon market does actually provide us with a lot of opportunities that we're trying to seize in the shorter term, including incentives to reforest cleared lands, to minimize existing clearing, incentives to employ no-till farming, and removing feral and domestic herbivores from our rangelands. So just to touch on something that we're currently doing, Denner has a project under development to comprehensively review the impacts of carbon market on the environment and natural resource management and develop some policy options to address those issues. And again, science can play a very important role in informing that. Now, to address the research gaps, the knowledge gaps that we have perceived, we've taken some effort to develop a science strategy for Denner, and it covers the time span of the next 5 years, but it was always intended to be an iterative document that that changes its context and knowledge changes. It was focused on five key priority areas for Denner, and climate change was one of those. The other priorities were big deliverables that the agency has for government, including marine protected areas, fire management, Coorong Lower Lakes, and nature links, some of those things that Andy and others have spoken about. But climate change adaptation has been considered in all of those priorities and has a specific focus in the document. And these are just some of the big researchable questions that that we've come up with through our thinking and discussions. And we did reflect on both the marine biodiversity and terrestrial biodiversity, NARPs, in the development of this, and there was some nice congruence there. This drives our funding and our research partnerships, but in terms of challenges, one of the challenges we have as a state in addressing these issues is actually funding the research that we need to inform our policy and management. And we're trying to get more and more clever and better at collaborating with others to fill these knowledge gaps and to make sure that we're getting the biggest bang for whatever bucks we've got to try and fill gaps. And this forum has been a very useful one. Thank you for trying to do this. I'll finally just land on some thinking that we've had about how we can improve the relationships, the inner linkages between research and policy and management. And we've got a number of partnership programs that we've been working on for some time now. And the nature of the partnerships have evolved over time as we're understanding what works best for us. And the models that we're trying to establish are very participatory in their nature. So ideally, the work that we do with our research partners to address our knowledge gap, we're working with them through all stages of the development of a research initiative. That not only helps us build our own capacity, but it helps the research outputs that come out the other end be more directly applicable to the problems that we're grappling with. This acknowledges that trust between researchers and policymakers is critical to making these linkages work for both of us, and that public servants need to have trust and confidence in researchers' approach, and also how they'll use the evidence that they gain, and sometimes even the confidential agency information that they have, and that we as public servants need to understand the different drivers that that researchers face to make this work for both of us. Now, this also acknowledges that collaboration takes time to be effective, and that we need to be clear on that time up front and weigh up the cost of collaboration versus leverage. And as government practitioners, we actually gain more than just research outputs from effective partnerships, and that's really important to us. We learn about the research approach, and researchers also learn about what we grapple with as public servants in taking elegant science and turning it into practical outcomes. I don't want to dwell on this because I think I've touched on these points. I think what I'd like to leave you with is one of the challenges that we're grappling with is trying to encourage people to start thinking about nature conservation and natural resource management in a really different way. Given the uncertainties of climate change, the uncertainties of the responses of systems the threats and the disturbances they're already under. And that's, I think this has been discussed as it, previous, that's hard to do. It's really hard to do. And there was a recent paper in Ecology and Society that demonstrates that this is a common problem globally. So I just thought it would be worth leaving you with some work in the Netherlands that is really thinking outside the box and not being afraid to push those hard issues right up the policy food chain. Some of the highlighted policy statements in this particular movement in the Netherlands about traditional conservation measures having limited effect, the need to implement measures collectively across sectors that impact on biodiversity rather than just within individual sectors. And this is all the hard stuff. But also the need to admit that we have to reduce production and consumption of goods. I mean, can you imagine saying that Australians have to become vegetarians? So this is the sort of thinking that I'm hoping we can engage in the future, particularly new opportunities for big different environment relationships with NRM boards, the opportunity to engage the community in a different way. And for DENR as an organization to start partnering with institutions and organizations that aren't usually the obvious ones that we think of. We have to be working more with industry. We have to be delving more into the social sciences than we have in the past. And if we're going to have the opportunity to have the best future possible, I think we just need to look at the world really differently. Thank you.